So I think the NFL game is still Pittsburgh 12 and the Ravens 7. Is that what you have, Scott?
You want me to tell you the truth?
12 to 6, 12 to 7. Yeah, tell me the truth.
The truth is that I have it on my TV. It's gone to commercial, and I stopped paying attention.
It's gone to commercial, and I've lost track.
Yeah, it's 12-7, end of the third quarter. So going to the fourth, man, oh, man. Middle of the day, Pittsburgh, empty stadium, NFL football game. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two TVs. One has got the football game. The other one has Judge Judy. I never miss Judge Judy. She's the best. All right. So last night, by the way, LeBron, it's a huge story. It's a breaking story. LeBron James has signed a 2-year extension to stay with the Los Angeles Lakers. He'll make $39 million this year. Then the extension will kick in. He'll make $45 million, $45 million, and he will be with the Lakers through the 2022-2023 season. And I'm anxious to talk to Dave McMenamin today. Who, of course, follows the Lakers for ESPN. He's our Lakers beat writer. He is going to join us in 30 minutes, 3:30, Dave McMenamin. We'll get his perspective on what's gone on. And it came as a complete surprise to me, completely out of left field. I mean, wouldn't have been surprised by an Anthony Davis extension announcement or a new contract announcement, but to have LeBron come out of the blue like this was a big surprise.
Had no idea. I mean, because no one was really talking about LeBron and his future with the Lakers. In fact, if anything, it felt natural and was going to continue on. I don't think anybody right now thinks that LeBron James will ever put on another uniform in the NBA other than the Lakers.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, this is his life now. Move operations from Ohio, set up shop in LA, not only play for the Lakers, win a title, perhaps others. Because to me, on this show that he did on Spectrum last night,
yep,
Mace, I'm telling you, LeBron looked happy. You remember how many times you saw him in the bubble and he looked really irritated?
Yeah, sure.
He looked happy. He looked peaceful. He looked like he got his life back. He's won his championship. I still am waiting for somebody to tell me on Twitter, what ring was LeBron wearing on his right pinky finger? Because that thing was a monster championship ring.
Yeah, I do not know. I did not notice the ring. I did watch the interview. I didn't notice the ring. So one of the things that came out is Allie Clifton asked LeBron, can you guys repeat?
Can you all repeat?
We can. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, we absolutely can. Like RJ said with the Nets, first of all, it all starts with health.
Yeah.
You have to have some luck. And you have to have health. If we can stay healthy... But we did get younger. We grabbed the 27-year-old point guard. We got the 27-year-old sixth man of the year, Warren Trez. We got younger.
With Mark.
You know, we got Mark, who's a defensive player of the year, and his IQ playing against, not only playing against him in the NBA, but also playing against him versus Spain, national team.
Yeah, that is confidence. That is confidence. Of course, this team is better than last year's team, flat out. As he said, they got younger. Marc Gasol at center is going to make a huge difference, going to take pressure off Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis will get to play the four instead of the five, which is his preference. And Dennis Schroeder is a guy who can handle the ball when LeBron is not on the floor, point guard that can run the offense, and he's an excellent catch-and-shoot player. In fact, I think he was 42% from three on catch-and-shoot last year. So the team just flat out got better.
You know, Mace, I really loved this interview that I saw last night on Spectrum with LeBron. And one of the reasons I really loved it is because I felt like I was watching LeBron more candid than I had seen him in any other interview. That is maybe in part because they were drinking during the interview.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like maybe he was loose because, I mean, Richard Jefferson is opening bottles of wine while they're yeah, sitting there yeah. talking, you know?
Yep.
And at one point, LeBron is kind of hyping up his tequila brand, and they start sipping on that, too. I don't know if the Michael Jordan documentary earlier this year made people think that now it's cool to, like, drink while you're doing an interview. Like, old school, like, way old school when people used to smoke on TV shows when they were being interviewed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
But so, I think this is new school.
Well, they do
NBA
this a lot, though.
NBA players are so
on
into wine and their own tequila brands and all that stuff. Sorry, Lindsay.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, they do this a lot on this particular show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because this group had, they had this road trip and podcast goes all the way back to when they were all playing together in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like their thing. They would hang out and drink wine and do their podcast. And a lot of times they'd be like on the road and all in one person's room. And it was like their winding down thing after a game or whatever on an off day. And so I think that's kind of where it started, and they just keep doing it.
Well, it's cool. It's very cool, and it's fun to watch. And when you put a little bit of truth serum in somebody and they lighten up a little bit, yeah. I really found LeBron to be super interesting. He was talking about when they're in the bubble and they find out that Milwaukee is boycotting this game and how they wind up all getting together, and the whole brotherhood of NBA players has to make some decisions. And LeBron has this part of the story where he says something to the effect of, you know, I actually had to get up, walk out. I had to sleep on it. He goes, you know, my time is very valuable. It wasn't like he was saying, hey, I'm just a basketball player who happens to be in the bubble right now. That's the only thing I got going on. He's like, hey, my time's seriously valuable. So I'm going to go contemplate the ifs. You know, think about what's going on, and then tomorrow I'm going to have an answer as to what we should do. Because he was talking about what it is to be the guy that everybody's looking to for the answers. You know, I thought it was really interesting to listen to him talk about that.
Now, the one thing that surprised me was, and you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, was when he talked about the possibility, the fact that he considered leaving the bubble.
I was ready to walk away. I was ready to walk away. I had called my wife and called my mom and told them that I was probably headed home.
Why?
Because there was no plan. Mm. After we decided to do what we did and we boycotted the games, what's next? What the hell are we doing next? Oh, so we're going to just go back? Okay, now game three, yeah. Lakers versus Portland. What the hell? What are we doing? We've decided to take off these games for the right reason. Mm-hmm. Okay, but there's some other issues that needs to be dealt with as well. What is our plan? And at that moment when I walked out, we sat there and talked for 2, 3, 4 hours, and there was still no plan. So I walked out because my time is very valuable. And I knew what could help the change. But when you're dealing with a group of a lot of
emotional,
a lot of ego, a lot of guys that's passionate about themselves and what they believe in, then it's hard to figure out a plan at that very moment. Yeah. So it was best for me to step out.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was interesting, man. Listening to him talk like that candidly, Mace?
Yeah. Well, do you remember? I mean, put yourself back in. It seems like a million years ago. Put us back in the world where social justice issues were just huge. Police brutality. I mean, we remember all this in the George Floyd killing. And you think about how emotional that was. For everybody, but particularly for Black Americans, and the way that felt. And so I understand that. I certainly am glad he didn't leave the bubble, and he did achieve an awful lot of good in terms of encouraging people to vote, and he got venues open for voting that normally wouldn't be, like, I think Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta or where the Hawks play. There, it was a voting center to make it to create some room and to make it easier to vote, all that kind of stuff he did. So his impact was large, and so I'm glad he didn't leave the bubble, but he still absolutely made his mark. All right, yeah. So we may have a solution to the LeBron James ring situation.
Okay,
Jorge, good. You sent a picture. Describe what you think it is.
I think it's either a lion or a wolf. The wolf because of his tequila, Cuatro Lobos or whatever it's called, Lobos.
Yeah, his tequila is called Lobos, yeah. And it does look like that ring.
Or a lion as the king, get it? Like a king, something like that. I think that's what it is.
But why either a lion or a wolf.
Right. Why such a big ring on the pinky? I mean, this thing is is gigantic. I mean,
no,
it is
huge.
It is. It, you know what it looks like? It looks like if you ever had a little baby and you had a pacifier, or like you know those candy rings.
They
have
pops,
the candy
the
diamond.
Ring pops, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what LeBron has on his pinky finger. I just want details. I thought it was a championship ring. I'm like, does he have a championship ring on his pinky? That's very cool.
Yeah, really. It's a cool looking ring. We still don't have any verification. Maybe Dave McMenamin at 3:30. Has seen that ring up close and can tell us exactly what it is and what it means.
Well,
all right.
Can I just say one thing? That ring, And the way LeBron put together that whole ensemble last night, it's not going to get the sort of Cam Newton reviews. But the way he's wearing this shirt that says more than an athlete, that's kind of tie-dyed, and his necklaces and his bracelets and his big ring on his pinky finger, and his like gray pants with the stripes and the socks that are like camo and the crazy shoes. I mean, he just looks super cool. And when I say super cool, Mace, you've been teasing me with why George Clooney is so cool. I'm dying to know the answer here.
Okay. So I mentioned earlier, and we talked about it yesterday, that George Clooney is a guy who could afford anybody in the world to cut his hair and to style his hair. Instead, he hooks up the Flowbee to his vacuum cleaner, and he cuts his hair himself, and he's been doing it for 25 years. That's cool. Here's another cool George Clooney story. So he visited a warehouse in an undisclosed location and picked up a pallet with $14 million in cash to surprise his 14 closest friends with. This was in 2013. He set the scene in an interview. He says the film wasn't expected to be a hit when it was released in 2013. He was given a percentage of the movie in lieu of salary. So he has all this money comes in because Gravity is a big hit. And he says, quote, "And I thought, you know, without them, I don't have any of this. And we're all really close. And I just thought, basically, if I get hit by a bus, they're all in the will. So why the F am I waiting to get hit by a bus?" He said, again, pallets of cash, then packed into suitcases, $1 million in cash in each suitcase. And he gave it to his 14 closest friends. Now, I happen to know one of those friends. I won't say who it is or anything. Won't lead to his conclusion. But he tells me the story. Just Clooney invited everybody over, handed everybody $1 million in cash.
That's unbelievable. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If you're going to give away $14 million in cash to 14 people, I've been thinking about this. Like, who would my 14 people be?
Oh.
You know? So you, because once you get past five or six, now you're going to start to get to another layer here. You know, Clooney, to have 14 friends of that magnitude is amazing. Here's my question. If you're giving away $14 million in cash, what do you suppose George Clooney is really worth?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I mean, they always have that George Clooney net worth thing. Is that supposed to be real or not? When you Google George Clooney net worth, it says he's worth $500 million.
Okay. All right.
$14 million he probably has in his pocket right now.
So he's...
he's worth $500 million.
Okay, $500 million, and you're giving away $14 million.
Yes.
If you give away $14 million and you're worth $500 million, you don't even know that $14 million is gone. Can we agree on that?
We can agree on that.
Okay. If LeBron James wants to do the same thing, or he wants to one-up George Clooney, LeBron James can do the exact same thing, $15 million, $15 million, $1 million per bag for his top 15 people. And is LeBron James going to know the difference that $15 million is gone from his entire net worth?
No.
Okay. Do you think, Mace, that this inspires other ultra wealthy people to want to do something similar for their network of friends?
I'm going to tell you why
I'm asking.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I have a friend, my best friend on the planet.
Good.
Who grew up dirt poor.
Okay.
And struck it monstrosity huge.
Wow.
I'm talking like maybe this kind of Clooney money. Maybe more.
Really?
Maybe more.
And so are you expecting a suitcase of $1 million from your friend?
I think, honestly, there's no excuse for him to not give me $1 million in cash tomorrow.
Seriously?
Absolutely. Because
wow.
Let me tell you something. If the shoe were on the other foot, I'm hooking him up.
Well, maybe this will inspire people. This is the first time he's really talked about it publicly. There were rumors that this happened, but he did an interview with some magazine. I don't know which one.
Is it wrong to have expectations now of your friends who went from rags to riches because now George Clooney is shaming them? He's wealth shaming people. Give it to your friends. Make their lives easier. I wonder how many of Clooney's friends could have really used the money versus, oh, they've just added $1 million to my bank account versus, oh my God, you've completely changed my life.
The person I know could really, really use the money, really needed it, was really helpful, not worth a whole bunch of money, most money he's ever seen. So, yeah, and I wonder, I mean, he's not going to invite Matt Damon over and give him $1 million. I know they're friends. Brad Pitt, come on over to my house. Here's a suitcase with $1 million. These are the people that support him in a bunch of different ways that aren't famous. And we all have people like that in our lives. We all have people that, you know, you just couldn't get through life without them. And so why not hand them over $1 million? If you're worth $500 million.
Well, I think I'm just to wrap it up. You started this with, this is why George Clooney is one of the coolest people on the planet. Okay. So I'm calling on everybody else who wants to be just as hyper cool.
Especially your friend.
And my one brother. I'm calling on everybody. If you want to be Clooney cool, hand it over.
There you go. All right.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Ignore it. Ignore it.
Just ignore it.
All right. Standing by right now for traffic, she is the woman of 1,000 names. Her name is Karen. Her name is Shosh. But I think what we're going to stick with is her childhood nickname, Kiki. Kiki is standing by with traffic. What's going on, Kiki?
That is fine. And to you, you are my rich friend. When people ask me, do you have a rich friend? I say, yes, Steve Mason.
I will put $100 in a suitcase and hand it to you immediately.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, and we welcome to the show Jose Herrera from Bell Gardens. Jose, how are you, man?
I'm good, Mason. How are you guys?
Everything is great. Everything's great. So it's time to pick a stocking above the 710 fireplace. We got Keyshawn, Greeny, Max, me, Ireland, Sedano, LZ, Scott Kaplan, my co-host today, or playoff Sliwa. Which stocking do you want to pick?
All right, so I told myself that if I was going to make it through, I would pick Playoff Sliwa.
Playoff Sliwa, what have we got?
It's my stocking. The Playoff Sliwa stocking above the 710 fireplace.
Okay, let's see what's inside the stocking. Congratulations, you win an official Lakers championship hat and t-shirt. The perfect way to show it off as the Lakers get ready to tip off on December 22nd.
Yeah, let's
there
go.
You have it. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Hey, listen, have a great holiday month, and we appreciate you listening, being out there every day, Jose.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, cool. Hang on. Don't hang up. Don't hang up.
Okay.
You know, always remember, don't hang up. Okay. It is time now for the scoop, which we have moved to 3:15 every day. If you are a scoop junkie, be here at 3:15. Scotty, you want to kick it off?
You know, Steve, I would love to. So here it goes. Did you see Mike Tyson this past weekend fight? You did see
it?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. It was great.
I know a lot of people that saw the fight, but Mace, I don't know anybody that paid for the fight. I'm going to guess you did pay for the fight.
I did pay for it. I did it the old-fashioned way. I know a lot of people did it like through VPNs and all that sort of business.
Yeah, I have a big fear of bootlegging content like that. I have a feeling like I'm being watched somehow, and I don't want to do it. So I would pay for it rather than not pay for it. But here's the question. Now that you've seen Mike Tyson get back into the ring, there's talk about another Mike Tyson fight. In fact, he told Jim Gray after the fight, I want to do it again. I don't need a boxing license. I don't need to fight for a championship. I just want to fight for the people.
Yeah.
Mace, would you be up for a Buster Douglas Mike Tyson exhibition?
Buster Douglas Mike Tyson? Because I've been hearing Evander Holyfield Mike Tyson, but Buster Douglas, yeah. That would be a fascinating. I mean, that's an amazing piece of history. I mean, I remember exactly where I was when Buster Douglas dropped Mike Tyson like a bag of rocks.
Yep. Same.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a fun fight. By the way, I'm in on all these old guy fights, and I'm in on any fight Nate Robinson is in. I want to see Nate Robinson on every single one of these celebrity cards. Eventually, he will get somebody.
Yeah.
What about you? Would you pay for Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson?
Okay, so yes, I think Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson would be really interesting. I also would not pay for Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. I thought that Roy Jones had the chance to get hurt badly. He didn't. I think Evander Holyfield could get hurt real badly because that guy he has a hard time putting a sentence together now. It's pretty sad, really. I would say I'm up for Tyson Douglas. I'm not up for Tyson Holyfield.
Okay. I am up for any of them. Lindsay and Jorge and I talked about this earlier in the week. I thought it was one of the most entertaining events I can remember.
How'd you like Jake Paul? You like Jake Paul?
Oh, yeah. The Jake Paul, Nate Robinson fight. Yeah.
I know you like Nate.
I don't think Nate remembers it, but but it went down really fast. No, I had fun with this card. It was a circus. I mean, Snoop Dogg singing a hymn while Jake Paul was knocking out Nate Robinson. That's worth the price of admission by itself. So yeah, I'm all in for these celebrity fights.
Snoop, Snoop-a-loop,
Snoop-a-loop.
My man. Oh, Snoop, the man.
All right, so 2 weeks ago, this is a little dated, 2 weeks ago, Jake Scott, the Super Bowl MVP of the Dolphins, historic 17-0 1972 season, died at 75 years old in Atlanta. As we always say, hail fellow well met. Scott, will there ever be, and I'm watching the Steelers about to go 11-0, they are up 19-7 on Baltimore with 5 minutes left in the game, will there ever be another undefeated season all the way to the Super Bowl again?
Absolutely. I don't know that it's the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. We saw it almost happen a few years ago when the Patriots lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, when they showed up at the Super Bowl 18-0.
Yep.
I believe that absolutely a team can go an entire way from beginning to end undefeated in the NFL. People would say, you're crazy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to say. You're crazy.
Well, right, because it hasn't happened. Okay? It hasn't happened. So, and with football now, with the salary cap, everything is supposed to be more equal, if you will.
Yeah. There's parity.
Of course. But I'm watching Pittsburgh now at 11-0. I saw New England get to the Super Bowl at 18-0, and if it wasn't for a freak play, they would have been 19-0. I actually think it could happen.
I do not. I would bet against it. I don't think it will ever happen. I think there is great parity in the NFL. I think schedule-wise, it's hard to get a really, really favorable schedule, although the Rams did get the NFC East this year. Which was fun for the Rams. But I can't see it happen. I was at the game where the Patriots lost, and frankly, they were due for a loss. I mean, Kansas City lost to the Raiders this year. You know what? You're always going to stub your toe somewhere because it really is any given Sunday. Or as a friend of mine says, for every team, it's week to week. You know, the Rams can demolish Tampa Bay on a Monday night and then get demolished by San Francisco on a Sunday.
Let me just ask you one quick question. Do you think it's harder to go 16-0 in the regular season or 0-16?
Well, 0-16 we may see.
Well, I think
the Jets are on track.
Yeah. So, but even in this NFL, you're bound to accidentally win a game 1 week, aren't you?
Yeah, it's true. Have we seen 0-16? Not in a while, right?
Yes,
didn't
the
Detroit?
Oh, wait, Lindsay, the Browns, when was that?
When Hugh Jackson was a coach, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 years ago. So it's happened recently. You know, the Rams have the Jets on the schedule coming up. They play Arizona at Arizona and then the Jets at SoFi. I mean, I hope they just whack the Jets. Just get fat on the Jets. That's what I say. But no, I think it is highly unlikely that we ever see an undefeated season in the NFL again. It happened in 72. And I agree with you. I don't think the Steelers are the ones that are going to do it.
By the way, this is a week for the Raiders to get healthy against the Jets as well. After
that's right.
Disaster last weekend.
All right, it's to you.
All right, here goes. Mace, to follow up on what you're talking about here, in terms of, you know, NFL games and will we see an undefeated team? Here's a question for you, and it's really make a prediction. Dr. Fauci was recently interviewed by Yahoo Sports.
Okay.
And he was asked, do you think that we'll have fans in NBA arenas in June? And Dr. Fauci was like, well, you know, that's pretty ambitious, and I kind of think June's a bit aggressive. So they said, okay, well, Dr. Fauci, what about September NFL games? And he said, yeah, okay, you know, that's maybe a little bit more realistic. So, Mace, I put it to you. Make a prediction. When will we go back to life pre-COVID where NBA arenas, major league ballparks, NFL stadiums, concert venues, etc., when will they be pre-COVID full capacity?
I think the NBA finals will have full houses. I think we will be able to attend Lakers versus whoever at Staples Center this year. And here's the catch on this. So, you know, healthcare workers are getting the vaccine first, then people in nursing homes, then senior citizens and people with pre-existing conditions, then the rest of us. You know, the one thing I wonder about is, don't you have to have proof of vaccination with you in order to get into one of these arenas or one of these stadiums? Like, I would think you've got to have some sort of official government document that says, I have been vaccinated, and that will allow you to get into the game. What do you think of that?
So I can't go if I don't want to get vaccinated.
Correct. If you have not been vaccinated, you cannot go.
Hmm. I'm not sure I want to go. I mean, I kind of think I want to go. I mean, I'll say this. I want to go to SoFi Stadium when the Rams are playing and the place is empty. I would be fascinated to see and hear what an NFL football game looks and feels and sounds like with nobody there.
Guys, I got a question, though.
Yeah.
As media, if they made you get it, would you get it?
Yes. I will get it at the earliest possible time I can get it.
Or you'd go in on the sidelines and whatever. If you had to get it, do you take it?
Yes, I would get it if I needed to. If the network said to me, you have to get this in order to get onto the sidelines of an NFL game, they're not going to allow you there without it. Yeah, I'd get it.
Aren't you going to get it no matter what or not?
I'm not so sure yet.
Really?
Can I ask you this? Do you know anybody right now that's close to you? Because the numbers are spiking, obviously, and we can read about it every day. Do you know anybody close to you that has it?
Yes.
How close?
Acquaintance, I would say.
Okay, somebody you've seen in the last 2-3 months?
But my, there was a COVID-related stroke of one of my exes that was devastating. Mm-hmm. So, I know people who have suffered from it, suffered with it.
I have a friend right now, May, 75 years old, lives in Pittsburgh, and a completely healthy person. And he has it, and he's been down for about 12 days. And he's a doctor, and he said it's worse than any flu you will ever have in your life. It's knocked him down. And it's not just the concern about getting better, but it's a concern about the next 6 weeks or so, heart issues, lung issues, etc. But that's Pittsburgh. I mean, I got to say, it hasn't been close enough yet to make me feel like I've got to get vaccinated.
Hmm. Well, wait a minute. What? Don't you want to be immune to this thing?
Yeah, but yes, I guess. I mean, of course, naturally. I don't want to get it. I'm not one of those people like, hey, I want to get it so it's over with. No, I don't want to get it. I just don't really want to put things in my body that I don't have to, I guess. Like, I don't like to take aspirin. I don't like to take pills.
You have to. They need at least 60% of the country to get the vaccine in order for there to be herd immunity.
I'm happy to do it. I'm just not like I'm not like Mace here who's going, hey, I'm the first one in. I'm just like,
I'll be the first one. I would be the first one in line.
I'll get it tomorrow. In fact, I even like signed up to get called for clinical trials.
Oh, I have a friend who's gone through clinical trials. Yeah, I people who are like, come on, let's get it going. I'm here to sacrifice my body, and you can experiment on me for sure.
I will be first in line. I hope everybody gets the vaccine. I hope they do, because it's going to make for a, once we get herd immunity, I think life can officially return to some level of normalcy.
Let's do that. Because I really want to get back in, meaning, you know, to stand next to a stranger, shoulder to shoulder, and high five somebody in a big game. And I mean, I miss people.
Yeah, I miss people. That's actually a great way to describe. I miss people. The only guy I see is the guy at the drive-through window at Starbucks, and of course my family. But other than that, nobody. I've seen nobody. All right, coming up next for you, Dave McMenamin is going to join us. It is a monumental day in Los Angeles Lakers history. LeBron James has signed a two-year, $85 million extension that will keep him in purple and gold until after the 2022-2023 season. Did Dave see this coming? What does it mean? What does it mean for Anthony Davis's deal? Will there be cap space to attract a marquee free agent, maybe named Giannis, next summer? All that kind of stuff. We'll talk to Dave McMenamin, our ESPN Lakers beat writer, next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. Baltimore has pulled to within a one-score game now. It's Pittsburgh 19, Baltimore 14. With 2.5 minutes left to play, the Steelers, or the Stillers, as my relatives in Pennsylvania would say, are trying to go 11-0.
Now, Mace, can I just point something out right now, please?
Yeah, please.
It's 19-14. There's 2:35 to go here. Okay.
Yep.
And Ben Roethlisberger, on a third down, comes up with a floater that turns into a first down, okay?
Okay.
Throws it into traffic, and it's first down Pittsburgh. So now the clock is stopped at 2:24 to go, and Pittsburgh needs to do what in this game? They need to hold on to the football. You don't even want to give Baltimore a chance. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
By the way, RG3 has gotten hurt in this game, so there's no Lamar Jackson. RG3, the backup quarterback, it looked like he yanked his hamstring.
Who's the backup to the backup?
I don't even know who the third string quarterback is, but he just threw a touchdown pass for Baltimore.
Wow.
So here's the thing. If you're Pittsburgh and you're going to win this game, you're going to just hold on to the football.
Yeah, why not?
Now
I see Ben Roethlisberger throwing into traffic on that play right there.
Yeah. The Rams, they had this same opportunity.
It's Trace McSorley from Penn State. That's who the quarterback is.
Oh, I liked him in college.
Yeah, I loved him in college. He was great. He was great in that Rose Bowl against USC that we won.
He reminded me very much of Drew Brees at Purdue. Undersized, good mobility, solid arm, accurate, good leader. Like, I really liked him at Penn State.
Yeah, he was great. I think he was a quarterback for 4 years at Penn State.
But here's the thing about what we're seeing right now with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, just to compare it to the Rams for a second.
Yep.
The Rams had the ball with 3 minutes and 11 seconds to go in a 20-20 game. They ran five plays and then punted the football with 2 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the game. So they got five plays and a punt, so six plays total. They picked up one first down.
Yep.
They threw on every down. And they took 50 seconds off the clock. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
So for as much as we talk about Jared Goff, and it's fair criticism in my opinion because of the number of turnovers, you know, Coach McVay and offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell got to look in the mirror and say, what were we doing? What is our play calling? Why are we in a no-huddle, hurry-up, two-minute offense with 3 minutes to play? The inability to run the ball and control the clock is in part why they lost that game.
I agree. Absolutely agree.
Thank you. I'm glad I was able to build my case.
I absolutely agree. They were not able to run the ball with the exception of the 61-yard run for Cam Akers. By the way, you know what's going around is the nickname for the Rams running backs? Run DMC. Because it's, let's see, D is, no, I'm blanked. Who's the D in Run DMC?
All right, hold on a second here.
Darrell Henderson.
Okay, very good.
Malcolm Brown.
Right.
And Cam Akers, DMC.
DMC. Oh, very good. Works. Yeah. Works. Oh,
there
yeah.
you go. I like Chewbacca, that as a nickname, Run DMC, although they did not run well in San Francisco, so I'm not sure that they've earned a nickname.
I don't know, but I love this song. I really do.
It's great.
In 1987, man, I knew every word. In fact, I still think I kind of do know every word. It's just one of those songs that when you memorize it in 1987, you've got it the rest of your life. Kind of like Rapper's Delight.
Yes, exactly like Rapper's Delight, yeah. All right, Coming up next for you, we are going to go to Game of Games. It is Lindsay's game today. When you were on here last week, did you win or lose, Scott?
Oh, I got destroyed.
Well, you've got a chance to redeem yourself today.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Game of Games time. It is brought to you by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They're our plumber, and they want to be yours too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. In the month of December, which just started, Lindsay won the December 1 Game of Games. So you've got a 1-0 lead on the field. I'm nothing. Ireland's nothing. Jorge hasn't scored. And Scott Kaplan has not scored yet. So, Lindsay, what is our game today?
All right. Today, we're going to do a game of who they dated.
So who they dated.
So I'm going to take one at a time. I'll give you some names, and I'll read them one by one. And you need to guess who the person is that dated all these people.
Okay.
So your name is your buzzer, and I would suggest you wait till I read like two or three of the names before you buzz in, because you know in Hollywood everyone dates everybody, and you can
true.
Easily
so
guess
be wrong. So be patient on these.
Yes.
Okay. Is it dating or like sleeping with?
Oh, we'll say dating, as in like it's in the tabloids.
Got it.
Okay. Got it.
So like kind of known for them to date. All right. Okay. First one here. This person dated Reggie Bush, Nick Lachey, Mace.
Kim Kardashian?
That is correct.
I remember Reggie Bush and Kim Kardashian. Hmm.
Yeah, but you know, Reggie Bush probably dated other famous people, right?
I'm sure he did. Okay.
Reggie Bush was hot for a while. He was real hot.
Yeah, he was. Then he had to give his trophy back. Next one.
Come on, Lindsay.
This guy dated Scarlett Johansson, Cameron Diaz, Alyssa Milano, Britney Spears, Fergie, Alicia Keys, Jenna Dewan Tatum.
Jesus.
God. Rihanna. Who is this guy?
Who is this guy? And how do you
Olivia
get to be
Munn,
him?
Scott.
Kate Hudson. Scott.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Nope.
No.
Wow. Yeah.
Olivia Munn would led me to Aaron Rodgers too. Okay, so I'll pick somebody famous that could have dated all
Scarlett
this.
Johansson, Cameron Diaz, Alyssa Milano, Britney Spears.
I'm going to go Dick Van Dyke.
No, that's incorrect. Okay. Jorge, you want to take a stab at it?
No, I'm still trying to think.
Cameron Diaz and Britney Spears.
That's the giveaway.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say a big, nobody got that one. It's Justin Timberlake.
How do you know? Man, I was so close to having Justin Timberlake. I was so close. I should have had that.
Cry me a river, yeah.
I should have had that.
All right. This woman dated Sean Penn.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Jose Canseco. Dennis Rodman.
Scott? Madonna.
Yeah.
That is correct. All right. Mason's got one. Scott's got one. Still nothing from Jorge. Next one. This man dated Jennifer Grey, Winona Ryder, Juliette Lewis, Kate Moss, Vanessa Paradis, Amber Heard, Ellen Barkin. Another one, you guys don't know? Nothing? Jennifer Grey, Winona Ryder, Amber Heard.
All right. I'm going to take
Mace,
a guess here.
Mason,
Scott.
I'll take a guess. Yeah, I'll take a guess.
Okay, Mace. I'll go with you.
Just Patrick Swayze?
Nope.
All right, Scott. Matthew Broderick?
Nope. Jorge?
Just name a name, Jorge.
Johnny Depp? I don't know.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, no. No way.
I feel like Amber Heard was a giveaway because it was a big public trial thingy with them going on lately.
Oh, I don't know that.
These get easier, actually.
By the way, Ireland would absolutely kill this game. He knows who everybody is dating at all times.
I know. So you guys each have one. We'll do a couple more of these here.
Okay.
This woman dated Dax Shepard, Owen Wilson, A-Rod, Adam Scott, Lance Armstrong.
Mason.
Mace.
Sheryl Crow.
Ah.
Nope.
Ooh. I'm back in the game. Scott.
Scott.
J-Lo.
Nope.
Oh. Jorge, do you want to pull something out of your ass
Ledger,
there?
Heath Ledger, Justin Timberlake, Chris Robinson.
Wait. Oh, I know who it is now.
Jorge, take a shot.
First couple names.
Dax Shepard, Owen Wilson, A-Rod, Adam Scott, Lance Armstrong, Justin Timberlake, Chris Robinson, Heath Ledger.
Oh, man. Ashton Kutcher's wife. What's her name?
Well, you're wrong. Oh, nope, that's not it. It's Kate Hudson.
Yes, Kate
Hudson.
Kate Hudson. Chris Robinson was the giveaway.
Yep. I try to put their spouse or something at the
end. Anybody know who Chris Robinson is, or just me?
Yeah, he's a singer, or he's in a band. What band
is he
the
Black Crowes. Yeah.
That's it, Black Crowes. Yeah. Yep. All right, next one. This man dated Jennifer Love Hewitt, Jessica Simpson, Minka Kelly, Jennifer Aniston, Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, Cameron Diaz.
Scott.
Vanessa Carlton. Scott.
Justin Bieber.
Nope.
Jorge.
Jorge.
Nick Lachey.
Nope.
Ah.
Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, that is Nick Lachey. Oh, no, that's...
No, that's what he just said.
That's what he just said. I'm going to just randomly say Elon Musk.
Nope, it's Mayer.
Oh, John Mayer.
John Mayer, yeah. He's gotten around in this town, hasn't he?
John Mayer.
He has. All right, I've got four more of these, so let's see how
I love John Mayer.
Can get any of these. All right, this woman dated Chris Angel, Justin Timberlake, Gerard Butler, Matt Dillon, Jared Leto, Benji Madden, Bradley Cooper, eventually married Benji Madden,
mm-hmm.
Very public relationship with Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
You guys still don't know it.
No, no.
Nope, still don't know it. You know, here's the thing.
We know it.
We know it, but we don't want to say.
Right. No, we do. We know. We know.
She fictitiously dated Brett Favre in a film.
Right. Scott.
Oh, Mason.
Scott.
Cameron Diaz.
Yep, that's right. Man, maybe if I gave all the fictitious people they dated, maybe that would go better.
It would probably do it. Yeah. See, here's the thing, Lindsay. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we're guys.
Yeah.
So we don't read Us Weekly and People and all that stuff.
Again, I feel like these are pretty public, and if it were John, like you said, he would know all of these. I feel
but because he subscribes to Us Weekly.
You're right. Okay, well, we'll try a couple more. Scott's got the lead. If nobody can catch Scott here, then we can call it a day. How about that?
Okay, good. Yeah.
I'd like to win.
Okay. I would like you to win, too. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you, too, Scott. Thanks. He's a good kid. Are.
Thanks,
this
everybody.
Man dated Naomi Campbell, Gisele Bündchen, Bar Raffelli, Blake Lively, Bridget Hall,
Mason.
Helena Christensen, Mace.
Is it Ryan Reynolds?
Nope.
He's married to Blake Lively, yeah.
Yeah. Who else did I say? Trishelle Cantanella, Bridget Hall, I don't know who she is. A lot of models that are way younger than him.
Okay. Anybody?
Anyone? Mm. Nope. Okay, it's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he gets around town, too.
Yeah, he's made his way through Hollywood.
Yeah.
All right, well, Scott wins.
Scott wins!
Oh, my God.
Congratulations, Scott.
Oh, I feel so good. I feel so amazing. I feel like the 11-0 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, just won. Just won final.
Now, if you were playing that game against John, John would have won after, like, four names. Nobody would be able to catch him.
Oh, John, I mean, he reads In Touch, Us Weekly, People Magazine, tabloids. I mean, he knows who's dating everybody at all times. I'm always amazed at how much gossip John knows.
Do but, you know, want me to leave the last one to see if any of you guys know it? Because I feel like you guys might know it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Stacey Keibler, Kelly Preston, Renee Zellweger, Sarah Larson, Terry Hatcher, Amal Alamuddin,
Mason.
Mace.
George Clooney.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Married to
I only got it from Amal. I know he's married to Amal. All right, there you have it. There is your game of games today. We've had more successful games.
I feel good.
Yeah, good job. Picked
the wrong
crowd for it, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, it's your audience. All right. Game of Games sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber, and they want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. All right. Coming up next for you, going to do some purgatory. George and LZ are going to be here. We'll talk about the big new extension for LeBron James and what it means. Mason here along with Scott Kaplan, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So wait a minute. You did a Twitter selfie video, and what was behind you? Because it's all about the backdrop now.
Yeah, so it's my wall of fame. Scott knows it because we talked about it during our crosstalk. It's just a wall of fame. I was telling you, I hate taking pictures. Yep. My wife, though, has told me over the years, because when I do these games, much like Scott, he does games, he does sidelines for Westwood One, you know, there are professional photographers there. So these professional photographers always send me the pictures that I take when I interview these athletes. Wow. And my wife's like, they're all on your phone. Like, why don't we put them up somewhere? So she found this website called Mixtiles that you can literally drop and drag them from your photos to the website. And then they'll just send them to you. And then these little 12 by 12 tiles. So they're all over my office now because she says I should do a better job of documenting my life. And she's not wrong about that.
Yeah,
so.
here's what I think that's called bragging. Isn't it bragging?
No.
No, I don't think so.
It's interior design, Mace.
It's interior design.
Plus, I would say this, Mace. Are you saying that it's bragging because you don't have a wall of fame?
I don't have a wall of fame. I don't. Well, you know, I've got a cabinet with my Bob Miller Awards and my Southern California Sports Broadcasters Hall of Fame plaque.
There it is.
Picture of
you know, and you guys always go to that Big Shot luncheon, right? Well, there wasn't one this year because there was the you know, COVID and stuff.
But I normally don't go to. I've never been to the Big Time luncheon, but when they do the Hall of Fame one, I'm going to go to because I've got a long speech.
The NAB, Vegas.
No, this is the Sportscasters, Southern California Sportscasters Hall of Fame. I've got a long speech, and I'm going to give a Michael Jordan kind of acceptance speech.
Oh, I like that.
Calling people out.
You should call everyone out. Hopefully you will mention our relationship and how it became the alliance.
Yes.
But it started off rocky. And
yes,
then just
did.
Rip everyone else. That's
fine. Absolutely. It's just you and me, George.
Rip Bergman, though.
That goes without saying.
Can I tell you about Bergman today?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so LZ knows this story because we literally just got off the phone a few minutes ago to do our show prep. So, Cap, you're going to love this. Ready?
Okay. Looking forward to it.
So,
hi, LZ.
Oh, hey, Cap.
So get this. So, you know, Bergman in his Big Shot suit, right? He's the assistant program director, right?
Corporate Greg. Yeah.
Corporate Greg. Right. So we get into this whole discussion yesterday on text about wanting to do videos for social that are pointed towards a specific segment and this, that, and the other. So we got into a philosophical discussion of what content we should use to drive these video segments.
Yeah.
And so we went back and forth. Chris thought we were fighting, which we weren't. I wanted to be clear in what we were doing. Okay. So nonetheless, it becomes this hour-long discussion, and then we figure it out. So we do it. The video I posted yesterday worked great. The audience was into it on social. We had fun with it on the show. So I said, you know, the LeBron news broke, and I said, look, I'm going to do a new lookie for Chris, and I'm going to do one of these videos pointed towards a specific segment about LeBron, right, and what it means, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for doing that. So I send the video in our group chat, okay, at 11:20 this morning, okay? Do you want to know what time the video went up?
Yes.
3 3:40 in the afternoon, I believe. So, and wow, the reason it went up at 3:40 in the afternoon was why, LZ?
He forgot.
Yeah, because I sent a text and said, hey, what's up with the video that I did 4 hours ago? Why isn't it up on social yet? Shouldn't we be promoting this targeted segment that you said we should be promoting? And, of course, he said, oh, that's my bad. I didn't send it.
Oh, my bad.
Have ball, we'll drop it.
Yes, there you go.
Yes.
So did you guys, George, LZ, did you see this LeBron James extension coming? Because I hadn't even heard a rumor about it anywhere on Twitter or anything. Where did it come from?
I think it came from Jeannie.
You think Jeannie's driving this?
No, I just think she's signing the checks. Listen, here's the deal. We didn't hear about it, but honestly, what else was he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been making this argument about AD for a long time. I've been making this argument about Giannis for a long time. Where do you go when you're winning, you have beautiful weather, and you're getting all your money? Where's the itch?
So here's the one thing that, and this was a Windhorse thing. I don't know if, how you feel about it, George, or what you know about it. Mm. But the Windhorse thing was LeBron – his contract expires at the end of this season. AD, mm-hmm, if he doesn't sign an extension now, his contract expires after this season. The idea would be sign Giannis and then use Bird rights to re-sign LeBron and AD. Was that pie in the sky all along?
Well, no, because now I
Ramona's been saying that.
Well, but I can tell you.
Ramona,
well,
sure.
AD's contract is really what impacts Giannis. LeBron's doesn't. So LeBron's contract was running through this year, and he had an opt-out potentially and could have opted in for another year. But what he did was, by extending by for two more years, he no longer has an opt-out at the end of this season.
Hmm.
But what that is confirmed to me by his representatives.
But what Giannis is saying is, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles.
Oh, I should have known you were up to no good when you said Giannis was saying.
Yeah, I know Giannis.
But so the AD contract – here's how we know if the Lakers are in it for Giannis, in the sense of they believe they could be in it, right?
Yes.
If Anthony Davis signs a 1+1. If he signs a 1+1, then he can still opt out after this season and create room for Giannis, and then they can go over the cap for Anthony Davis. That is the way that – now, they'd still have to do some other machinations there and make it work, like move some pieces still to give him the full max. But that is the most telling sign that they will at least try to get in the Giannis sweepstakes.
But there's also the caveat that I believe Momo talked about, and obviously it makes all the sense in the world, is that the flexibility that they need isn't just about Giannis either. There are other franchise players, you know, like a Kawhi.
Right.
Who also could be
I know you don't
player.
Love him.
Who
but yeah, I wouldn't want
Paul. I said franchise player, bro. Come on. But like Kawhi – like, or, you know, in addition to Giannis, that you can find as to be a great complement to AD going forward as LeBron moves from being the best player to one of the all-stars. Which, by the way, he signs this deal still as the game's best player. And I'm going to assume by 2023 he'll decline to all-star, but there's no guarantee. He might still be the best player.
So the other part of it is this, Cap and Mace and LZ, is that the CBA is going to expire before LeBron was. So, for example, the CBA is set to expire, I believe, after this season, okay? Because they had to amend the CBA for the bubble, and they clearly had to amend the CBA for this season. It's why the players have to put money in escrow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to make sure that the split is even. So, if you're LeBron, it's actually also super smart business if you sign the extension now, because you're using the collective bargaining agreement that is almost certain to be much larger than the next one will be.
So do you still – because I looked at the free agent class this next summer, and it really is a two-player class. It's Kawhi. If you're looking for young ascending superstars, it's Kawhi and Giannis. Those are the two guys. Mm-hmm. But do you really want? I mean, I read this piece.
Or
by,
AD, if he's available. If he's
or
available.
Or yeah, or AD, right. Which I'm taking him for granted. But I read this piece by a guy named Jovan Buha from The Athletic.
Jovan Buha from The Athletic. Yes.
And The headline is Kawhi chemistry in a failed Clippers title run. Apparently, Kawhi and PG-13 had power over the practice schedule. Kawhi lives in San Diego. He was often late for practice. Mm-hmm. Teammates believe that Paul George and Kawhi chose when they played and chose when they sat. They each had their own security. There were all kinds of special rules for him. And the suggestion from this piece in The Athletic is that that's one of the reasons that fractured the team and they crashed out of the playoffs. What do you
think? Now, I do think that that was part of it. I do think that also that is a bunch of guys crying for the sake of crying, potentially, because I have not covered an NBA team where there isn't at least an inkling of preferential treatment for the star
NBA,
players.
Yeah. This damn radio station we work for, there's a pecking order. There's a pecking order everywhere. That's not breaking news. Yeah.
What is the pecking order here? I was trying to figure out.
It's you, for sure.
Okay. I can tell you where I am on this pecking order. I'm down at the bottom. I'm working Christmas Eve. That's all I know.
Yeah. Oh, that Christmas Eve show. We're all going to gather around the tree and turn on Cap.
Yeah, I mean, the Hebrew brother is going to have the control of the airwaves.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That sounds lovely.
But you have the eight crazy nights.
Yeah, you do have eight crazy nights.
Yeah, long before Christmas Eve.
But one is like a dreidel, right? Isn't one of them a dreidel?
What do you mean? Is one of the crazy nights?
My Jewish friends always say that they don't think the gifts are as good during Hanukkah as they are during Christmas.
I think there's the rush of the Christmas Eve or the Christmas morning, and you're just tearing stuff apart like when you're a little kid versus the little things every night. No, tomorrow there'll be more. So,
yeah. Do you put up a Christmas tree or you? Because a lot of people do.
You've put me in a very tough spot here.
Why?
Steve. You've put me in a very tough spot here, Mace.
Okay.
Because, you know, my rabbi won't be happy to hear that my kids like the festive nature of the holiday season, and therefore a tree gets put up, you know? And he's like, you got a Christmas tree? I'm like, no, it's a Hanukkah bush. It's fine.
Christmas tree is another man's Hanukkah bush.
This is the second time Hanukkah bush has weaseled his way into our conversations this festive season, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, yesterday we had that. Do you know who Hanukkah Harry is? Bergman told us there's a Hanukkah Harry.
No. Who's Hanukkah Harry?
I don't know, Kaplan. Do you know Hanukkah Harry?
I thought Hanukkah Harry was like a Billy Crystal character on SNL.
I think it was John Lovitz.
Lovitz. That's what it is.
But he claimed Lovitz. That there was a real thing, that the Hanukkah Harry was a real thing beyond the John Lovitz character.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know I don't know much about Hanukkah Harry.
Okay.
So
probably are not alone.
Yeah. I'm clueless on it. So, George LZ, what's the impact of this in terms of the Lakers? And I'm curious about this part of it. He's playing through the 2022-2023 season, which will be Bronny's senior year. Does that mean that LeBron would go where Bronny is drafted potentially?
Maybe. You know, I think a lot of that will have to do obviously with his health and how his body is feeling, though at this point I don't think there's any reason to think he couldn't continue playing beyond 2023.
Right.
But there's also the dynamic, and George, I don't know if you've felt this yet, but you know, as a dad of a soon to be 24-year-old, and understanding a parent's love is fantastic, but there comes a point in a young man's life when they want to break away from their dad. And I don't know where he's going to be, he being Bronny in 4 years, meaning maybe he would want an opportunity to just spread his own wings in his own space and not have to deal with that environment with his father and the gravity that he brings to a club.
Yeah, it's a great point. True. Maybe he doesn't want to be around dad. You know, there comes a point where all of us don't want to be around mom or dad, you know?
Yeah, but man, what a story, though. I mean, if LeBron and LZ, I'm with you. If you look at Tom Brady and you look at Drew Brees, and I get it, Brees got hurt. But if you look at Brady, and again, he's not Tom Brady from 3 or 5 years ago, but he's still playing and he's still got his team positioned for the playoffs. And when you think about the idea of I could possibly play on the same floor wearing the same uniform with my son, that's freaking really cool.
Yeah.
He is by far the best American story in sports of the past 50 years, in my opinion.
In the past 50 years?
50 years. When you think about where he came from,
okay,
what he had to endure as a young person, the expectations heaped on him, and what he has matured into. So when I say American story, I'm not just speaking strictly as an athlete. I mean as a man.
Yeah.
When you see where he started, this is a young, poor black kid from small town USA who has worked his way up to the expectations, surpassed the expectations, and now is doing things he probably wasn't even thinking about 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. His story is absolutely remarkable, and it's not just a sports story. It is a American dreams come true, this is what America's about kind of story, in my opinion. And yeah, I said the past 50 years because I'm just looking around. I'm like going, what box is he not checking? Social right. justice, check. Billionaire, check. I mean, number one in the sport, check. Can call
movie
Obama
star,
whenever.
Soon to be.
Movie yeah. star, soon to be. He can call the president, you know, when he needs advice on whether or not his team should play in the bubble, check. Like Warren Buffett, check.
Yeah, he's like one of the top 10 people in America, really. I guess in the world, really.
Yeah.
You know?
In What's terms amazing of influential. I pulled up that company did that survey of teenagers that they do every year. And LeBron amongst teenagers is tied for second as most influential person, most influential celebrity.
Behind
so
who?
It spans generations, too.
Who's number one?
Taylor Swift.
It's not Taylor Swift. It is Bad Bunny. It's not Bad Bunny. It's not Jay Balvin.
Is it Kim Kardashian?
No, now you're going to make me open this thing. Hang on.
Is it Good Bunny?
It's Good Bunny.
I mean, if LeBron's number
good
two,
bunny?
Who's
it's
number
the Rock.
One?
It's the Rock.
No way.
Oh,
really?
The Rock. Oh, yeah, the Rock. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can buy
yeah,
that.
I've seen that. Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
That.
Yeah, it's the Rock.
I've seen that.
I'll buy that.
All right, guys, we're going to clear out of here. What do you got coming up?
We've got a packed show for you today. So obviously we're going to be talking about all of this, what it means for LeBron, for his legacy, the organization now and in the future as far as their stability. Richard Jefferson's going to stop by. He was
nice.
Part of the Road Tripping podcast, with Ali Clifton, who we had yesterday, and they sat down with LeBron. Sean McVay is going to join us because he what? Couldn't join you because he was busy. So he's going to stop by at 4:45. And then the 5 o'clock hour, we got Momo for the whole hour, of Momo.
What? How do you not tune in for an hour of Momo?
I mean,
By the way, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Momo is actually going to be doing the show with Clinton Yates for a day. I'll be back on Friday, but Clinton Yates and Momo tomorrow
Love
at
it.
1 o'clock.
Wait, where are you going?
I'm having a medical procedure.
Oh,
this
okay.
This is why Mace is not the boss. I mean, he thinks he's the boss, but his constant taking of days off, Mace, as we've learned earlier today, has the team saying you're not the boss.
People often ask me, how many vacation days do you take? And my answer is, as many as I'm allowed.
Yeah,
that's
there you go.
Basically,
and sometimes more than that, too.
Yeah, sometimes even more. All right, George and LZ coming up for you.